This is part three of a 10-part podcast on your electronic health record and taking control of your own health management. Enjoy the episode.
It's not that we didn't know how to do it, right? But it was also what was lacking is perhaps the vision to bring this into a different context. Like I said, at the moment, the state, the institution, the private hospital is controlling the information. What about changing that model and now put it into the hands of the individual that now can contribute or share the information with that same hospital or institution or private hospital?
Yeah.
There's a change in the design of who is owning this the data and how it's going to be managed. And this is the system that we created with great collaboration from all over the world, and particularly our partners in Taiwan and in Germany. We created what we believe to be a very valuable and significant tool. There certainly might be something similar out there, like, for instance, the EU passport that comes out now is a typical example of electronic health record, right? And it actually shares your information, you own it, it's on your record, right? It's a great example of an electronic health record.
Yeah.
So it's not even a foreign concept anymore.
Yeah,
the EU Parliament said, this is what we want and what you would need. And it is a great idea, right? But that information can be easily imported into our solution and can be part of your medical records.
Yeah.
And when you travel with one phone, with one when accessing, you can access it in very different ways as well, you know.
And you mentioned something there. You mentioned blockchain technology, which some people might find confusing because many people's only understanding of blockchain technology at the moment is cryptocurrency. Mm. And they hear blockchain and cryptocurrency, think it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, from my relatively limited understanding of the world of blockchain, it's essentially just another way of creating a network where the contributing members of that network have some level of authority, control, security. Mm. Obviously, it works on a currency standpoint because you can protect your money and you can have control over value that you create and contribute to the community. But in case people are listening and they hear blockchain, they think, what's blockchain got to do with it? Blockchain is just a technology that could facilitate something you've just described to me. It's the framework that you could use to build a system where I can have control over my own information, and everybody can, and no one organization has that information. Everybody has their own piece of that information, which essentially is with cryptocurrency, it's with currency, but with your information, it's just another form of value, which is your data. Would that be fair to say?
That's 100% right. And because most people will associate cryptocurrency and Bitcoin with the word blockchain, because that is the technology that's used to build the solution, right? Our solution, for instance, was built on Ethereum.
Okay.
So it's Ethereum-based blockchain technology that we implemented in our system, right? And blockchain is really a distributed ledger technology that records online transactions. Now, whether that transaction is financial, medical, a scan, a blood test, it is a transaction. It's a snapshot, like a photo taken in time, but cannot be changed or audited. It is there for life.
Yes. All right. And it's verified by the entire system.
It is verified by the entire system to be secure and true. All right. So it is regulated through a consensus mechanism and is secured with cryptography. Right. So that's exactly when you open it, the system agrees that this is you, Dan, and it's your information. Right. So the blockchain technology enabled our app to give each participant a digital identity. And this is controlled by a private key that brings access to digital versions of paper certificates. So you can now actually access your blood result as a paper certificate, and you can share that by email or WhatsApp, or even just send it through Wi-Fi to your hospital system, which they will need to give you access to, right? So the control is never taken away from the client or from the hospital. It is shareable, but the decision to share is now that of the clients.
Okay.
Right. Now, there might be ethical issues involved, and this is what the study is about. There's a huge amount of questions that is not answered That is a difficult question that we not even know we will get answers. But that's why you study these things. You need to explore and find out what you can get from it, you know. So blockchain technology has also been used to prevent information from being manipulated by unauthorized parties. So being able to control the security, you would highly unlikely can have a hack, for instance.
Yes.
So far, it is proven to be not hackable.
Unhackable, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, right. So hence that the EU is encouraged countries to move away from current systems, which are hackable, to something more secure like blockchain technology.
I just want to pick up on one thing you said there, because it's very, very important, I feel, in the context of this conversation. Mm. It's not about taking the control of the information away from the state or the organization. Mm. It's about a more even sharing and interaction with that information, where we play an active role in it, as opposed to just, here, you have it, and maybe I can get it, maybe I can't, maybe I can make a decision, maybe I can't. It's not about, let's reclaim everything and burn the city down and anything like that, because that's an easy stick to beat something like this with.
Exactly. And I have to point out to a number of studies that supports the fact that blockchain technology has been applied to resolve the tension and trust issues between maintaining privacy and addressing public health needs.
Yeah.
Such as, for instance, tracking infected patients like we had with COVID-19. There was immediately an issue. Now, if you use blockchain technology, that already reduces that tension, because the patient never feels that they lose control of their information.
Okay, yeah.
Right. So we see it, and this is not my impression. This is supported by a huge amount of publications that particularly look at the aspect between the state and the private persons and the ownership and use of that knowledge and data.
Yeah.
And it has been all confirmed that the patient would actually readily accept sharing information, important information, but that they would primarily like to keep the control and know who it was shared with.
Okay. Yeah, I like that, because it is a very relevant conversation nowadays, and a lot of people are getting very worked up and angry. And again, particularly in this marketing context, there's a lot of documentaries and movies out and about. They have your data, they're sharing your data, they're selling your data, and it creates a mistrust. Whereas this, to me, this seems like not to try and take our information back, but rather get rid of the mistrust.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit more of an active role in what's going on here.
Exactly. So the intention was never to create something to oppose something.
No.
It is to integrate with something that's already there. So the current and existing models that's in the health system, the work, that huge amount of work that the government here in Ireland has put into moving to the electronic health record system, can only be enhanced by empowering the people to actually eventually start sharing. Can you imagine the man hours that people will be able to put into their health records and share that? That's man hours you don't have to pay somebody in the HSE to actually do or go and write out.
Absolutely, yeah.
So there's a huge opportunity here where we can create massive amounts of information and big data, which the government then can use overall to improve public health outcomes. And this really points down to what we try to achieve here.
Lovely.
What we designed, we acknowledge, and we were told, and we fully appreciate, that it is a disruptive technology. In other words, it is very different from what is out there at the moment. And it allows the patient to take control and manage their own medical records and information.
Thank you for listening to part 3 of this 10-part series. If you'd like any further information on the topics of this podcast, or if you'd like to get involved with the research project, please contact Dr. Sam's team on reception@newacell.com.